as well. Luke chapter 15 and verse 4, I'll let you be seated for the moment, but it says this, it says, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it?" Father in heaven, Lord, thank you so much for this time that you've given, this opportunity to be in your house. And Lord, I just pray now as we think about Good News Club, we think about the outreaches and the ministries that you've allowed us to be part of in 2022. And Lord, what we look forward to in 2023, I pray that you would just touch each one of our hearts and lives and ask ourselves the question, how can I be part of what you're doing? Lord, I pray that you would just remove any distractions from our hearts and minds. Be with the young people downstairs. Lord, just meet with them. Father, meet with us right here, right now in this place. I pray, Father, that you would just convict hearts and lives in a way that only you can. Lord, I pray for your Holy Spirit's anointing upon this place, upon this message, Father, upon your messenger. And we'll thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. There are different styles of sermons that pastors give, and if you've ever been around a Christian college or anything along those lines, you'll know that it's called homiletics is a class. And in homiletics, they teach you how to put together a sermon. And there's different styles of sermons. There's thematic, where you go with different themes, and there's expository, where you're going verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Then there's topical, where you focus on a topic or a subject. And this morning is just a different kind of message. It's something we had one last year, a year ago, with Vision Sunday, and we'll have one today, but it's really just around me sharing the heart and just a small reminder of what God has done in 2022 and just what we believe he is going to do with our church in 2023. You look at Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, you don't have to turn there, but I'd encourage you to write that down. You say, well, Pastor, why do we take the time? Why do we go through have a vision Sunday, if you will? Proverbs 29 is exactly the reason. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. If there's not a vision, if there's not something that we are striving towards, that we're moving towards collectively, something that we believe God has for us, the people perish. In other words, we lose purpose. We don't have a drive. We don't have a fervor. We must have common goals on what we want to set out together to do for the cause of Christ. Before we look at 2023, I want to just remind you of what God has done in 2022. It was around setting a firm foundation. Isaiah 28:16 says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. We have the beginning of a firm foundation. The church did before I came and was part of things. It already had that foundation, but we shored it up, if you will. We praise God for what he's done in this past year. And when we think about what he has done, we don't want to ever lose focus on that which is most important. His promise was fulfilled in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16 is a verse we all know and love, something God did this past year that we were able to see and be part of, is see souls saved. You heard it in Kristen's testimony. We've had 12 young people from Good News Club accept Christ. We've had several others that have accepted Christ as by means of different outreaches and different opportunities to just share Jesus. May we never forget that that is the foundation in which everything else is built upon. May we never lose focus on what's most important. We also put a focus or continued focus on our youth. Matthew 19:14. Kristen read that just a few moments ago. But Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. In this last year, we restarted our youth group, and the Rosses have taken the reins of that. And I praise God for what they are doing, and just seeing some of our young people growing. I praise God for that opportunity. We had Vacation Bible School this past summer. Many of you were part of that, and what a blessing it was. We started the Good News Club back in October, and we just heard just what God is doing there. This last year, we also had a focus on missions. If you remember, we had our missions conference last March, and we'll be having another one this March. And just praise God for that opportunity and the way that the Lord worked those things out. We also took on a few new missionaries. We took on the Pagano family. We took on the Florence family. And we praise God for the partnership that we have there. Lord willing, we'll take on more missionaries in 2023. You say, why is that important? Well, that's the Great Commission. That's which Jesus had given in Matthew 28. And he says, go ye therefore into all the nations, baptizing and teaching, reaching the lost. And that's what we're about, missions. And we praise God for what he has done. We put a focus on our fellowship and really just growing the body of Christ. Acts 2:42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and the breaking of bread and of prayers. Why is it important to fellowship? We as a body need to grow together. We started that with our summer Sunday night fellowships all throughout the summer. We did that on Sunday evenings. We had a few Friday night fun nights and some different things. And then most recently, with changing of the afternoon service, there's many reasons why we did that. Just please understand, it wasn't just a convenience thing. It wasn't because it's easier on pastor. That's not the case, I promise you. All right, I go home and I collapse in the afternoon. I'm worthless. But that's a whole other story. All right, but one of the main purposes is so that we can fellowship together. So we, as a church, as a body of Christ, can spend time just talking to each other, getting to know each other a little bit more. I want to encourage you, if you haven't stayed for that, I want to encourage you to do so. Why? It'll help you. It'll help you grow. It'll help us as a church grow closer together through fellowship. I want you to think about something. The different outreaches that God has given, the different things that we've been able to do through outreach in this last year. Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and in the uttermost parts of the earth. Understand the reason, the significance, the importance for outreach is for this reason. West Bend, Jackson, Addison, Slinger, Menominee Falls, Germantown, Kewaskum, and many other suburbs, that is our Jerusalem. When that command came by God first, it was to first reach Jerusalem. You remember last year I shared my heart and passion around that. I believe our church has done just a fantastic job of reaching around the world, but we've missed the boat on right here. And we need to continue that focus. But if you think about some of the different things we've done to reach our community for Christ, we've done a couple different parades. We did the 4th of July parade, the Christmas parade. We've given out thousands of pieces of literature, invited people to church. We had the farmers market outreach. We had the fall farmers market outreach. Again, we had Vacation Bible School. We had our fall fest. We had our wild game dinner. Again, Good News Club still falls underneath that. And you say, Pastor, why is that so important? We must reach our Jerusalem for the cause of Christ. You see, missions doesn't have a distance when we walk out the door of when missions start. A lot of times we think in our mentality is that when we walk out the door, missions doesn't start until you're halfway around the globe. No. Mission starts the moment we walk out our front door. Whether it be in your home or whether it be a church, missions needs to start right here. And that's something that we put a firm focus on this past year. You say, what are the things to come? What's on the agenda? Well, you've got the calendar and you've seen some of those different pieces. The calendar in some ways is a little lighter than last year, but the focus isn't any different. We'll do many of the same outreaches. We'll do much of the same focus that we've done before. Now, will we do every single thing that I just listed this coming year? No, we won't. For a couple of reasons. I've shared this story with my boys. As they've grown, they've wanted to be involved in different activities. right? And you can very quickly get so involved and so busy, you lose focus. I remember one year, I was in 4-H, heavily involved in our church, our youth group. I played golf, I played soccer, I played basketball, and I played baseball and lettered in all of them. And at the end of that year, my dad looked at me and said, "Did we even have fun?" And I said, "No, it was exhausting." Right? So why are we not going to do everything every year? For two reasons. One is we can't do everything and still do it well. Right? We don't want to do so much and be so busy that we lose our focus. We can't do everything well. Second reason is we don't want things to get stale either. If you do the same event year and year and year and year and year, it can get stale if you're not careful. So there will be rotations of different things, different outreaches. I'll be sharing a few of those this morning. So if there's something that's not on the calendar that you say, "Boy, I really wish we would do that," you can talk to me afterwards. That's no problem. But I want you to understand the why behind it. We've got to stay focused. We've got to stay focused and fresh upon the things that matter. You see, once a foundation is laid and it's solid, you don't go and change that. You don't, in your home, you might remodel the bathroom, you might remodel the kitchen, but I doubt very much, unless there's an issue with the foundation, that you go and tear it out and replace it because you want new-looking concrete, right? You don't do those things. The foundation will stay the same. 1 Peter 2, verses 6 and 7 says, "Wherefore, also, it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded." Our foundation in this church in Bible Baptist is laid upon Jesus Christ. That foundation stone will never change. That won't happen. There'll be some core things, some core activities and outreaches that we'll continue doing. We'll keep doing Vacation Bible School. We'll keep doing Missions Conference. We'll continue focusing on our youth. We'll continue focusing on fellowships. We'll continue doing outreaches. If you remember back in July, I shared a message, and the theme of it was this: our methods will continue to be many. We'll keep doing outreaches. We'll keep doing different things, but our mission will never change. It may look a little bit different. The activity may be a different focus, but the mission will never change. You say, "Pastor, what's our mission?" It's rooted, everything we do is rooted in two core principles, is reaching people and changing lives. It's why we do what we do. It's what we're all about. It's our purpose in life as a church. The first one is to see souls saved. Number one, first and foremost, is see souls saved. Matthew 9:37, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." We're all called to be laborers for Christ. We're all called into this mission field, this harvest field. Secondly, we know that we need to see growth and fellowship of the believer. We need to see our brothers and sisters, we need to see ourselves, our families, growing in Christ. Proverbs 27 says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Our two principles in which everything that we're going to focus on in 2023 will be grounded upon those two aspects. Seeing souls saved, and seeing the growth of the believer. Why? We don't want a bunch of infants in Christ running around. We want to see people growing, maturing in the Word of God. That's the foundation behind it. Now, before I share any of these different vision pieces and the reason behind them, I want to say this: a vision that is not worthy of sacrifice is not a Christ-like vision. A vision that is worthy of sacrifice is not a Christ-like vision. If we're not willing to sacrifice for the cause of Christ, then it's not a Christ-like vision. Christ calls us to give. He calls us to sacrifice of our time, of our effort, of our finances. The first piece is these. I just want to say this, my prayer, before I go into each one of these different pieces, and they're short. It shouldn't be painful. But my prayer is this: as you hear these different activities, events, outreaches, whatever they might be, my heart, my prayer, my desire is this, that you'll be praying right now, Lord, how can I serve in these different areas? Lord, how can you use me to be a blessing? The first activity, if you will, or outreach, and you saw this on the calendar, is a community Easter egg hunt outreach. You say, Pastor, how is that a focus? Well, I believe John 4 talks about it. It says, say not ye, there are yet 4 months into the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Folks, I just shared with you, this is our Jerusalem. When I look out, when we went to the 4th of July parade, I can still remember trying to keep up with the float. Brother Ross was driving but trying to keep up with the float. But the one thing that resounded in my mind, this passage kept coming back and forth and back and forth as I saw thousands of people littering the sides of the road. The fields are white unto harvest. Folks, there are so many people right here in our immediate area, and I'll say West Bend, but our surrounding area that need to hear Jesus Christ. They need to hear the message. This community Easter egg hunt, I've got 5,000 Easter eggs being donated to us. We need to fill them. We're going to need to put them out. We're going to need to organize those things. Here's what we're going to do, though. Understand, it's not just having a free-for-all for the kids. We're going to invite the community in. We're going to share with them the gospel before they go out. We're going to take time and share the good news of Jesus Christ, of what Easter is really all about, before they go out and do those things. You say, Pastor, does this work? I've seen a church, a small country church that averages 35 in attendance, that has less than 5,000 people in a 5-mile circumference, get over 400 people to this type of event, to see souls saved year after year at this type of event. Now, I'm not comparing us to them. That's not what it's about. But understand, these methods are proven. They work. We want to reach our Jerusalem for Jesus Christ. We have, if you remember, a slight in also with Good News Club. Right there, 73 kids that we can invite to start with. Let alone our immediate neighbors. Let alone those neighbors and friends and co-workers that each one of us have. The second piece, or the second focus, that is our primary principle, is seeing souls saved. The second is in July, we're having a faith and family conference. You say, well, what's the purpose of that? I've got a dear friend coming in, Pastor Tice, just a man of God. He still has a church, for over 30 years in Las Vegas, Nevada. He has raised 4 children in Las Vegas, and every one of them are serving the Lord today in ministry. He's going to help us, and that's going to be a time where we can just focus and strengthen both our families and ourselves. Why is that important? If we don't take the time to make sure where we are where we need to be spiritually, we can't help others effectively. Nehemiah 6:9 says, "For they are all made us afraid, saying, their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." Have you ever gotten worn out? Have you ever gotten weary? Have you ever gotten tired? We're going to use this opportunity to strengthen our hands. The third piece is Good News Club. Now, Kristen already talked about it and did a wonderful job. But I want to stress not just the importance of what's been done, but the importance of why we're doing this. All right. She talked about some needs. Now, we didn't know those needs were going to happen. When I first met with the director back late spring, early summer, I said, what does a mature group of kids look like? Like, how many in this area? Because I don't know. I'm from the East Coast. And she said, if you have 12 to 15 on an established club that's been around for a few years, that's a really good number. I said, oh, okay. And in my simple human mind, that's easy. We can handle that. Right? No big deal. Kristen said she's praying for 20. I prayed for 20 with her. I prayed for 25. Why? That's easy. And God said, we're not going to do easy. We're going to do it my way. Right? And so there are some needs that we didn't know about in the beginning. Why? Because we were thinking humanly, I was 15 or 20. And God says, no, let's go to 70. Right? That's some different needs come up. right? We've had folks that have volunteered and done some great things. I praise God for them. And sometimes it just gets to be too much, and I understand that. Listen, we were planning one thing, and God said another, but we're going to keep focus. You know why it's so important? And Kristen shared this with the youth and helped them understand, but see them grow. Some of these kids that have gotten saved have come out during council time. And you say, why are you coming out? You know, maybe they didn't get it the first time, which is something we really strive to make sure they understand. We don't just want them saying words and saying, oh, now you're saved, poof, it's gone. We want them to understand, right? And we strive really hard around that. That's a big piece of the training. But now they're asking questions. One little boy came out this last week and said, I just don't know if God hears me sometimes. That's a new Christian, a baby Christian, just his relationship with Christ being developed. Praise God. That's one of the reasons we do it. Another reason why we're going to continue this and we're going to continue focusing and pushing and striving as long as God allows. Do you know right now in America, and I don't mean California, I don't mean Washington, D.C. or some liberal state, Virginia, right now there are Satan clubs happening in America. Right now. If you don't believe me, you can look it up. Right now. All the more reason we've got to continue reaching our Jerusalem, reaching these young people for the cause of Christ. Why? Because if we don't, the enemy sure will. That's our focus. That's our heart. That's our passion. We will continue focusing towards these things as long as the Lord allows. Now, lastly this morning, and this is one, maybe up to this point you said, well, Pastor, this is good. This is nice, and I can help with this, or I can help with that. That's fantastic. This is one that I'm going to challenge every single person sitting in here this morning to commit to. You say, Pastor, what am I committing to? I'm going to tell you in just a moment. Luke 15:4 says this, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? I want to share some statistics on outreach, and I'll do this very quickly. There was a survey done, and the survey was essentially this. How do people start attending church? By what way are they invited or they come to church? Now, we're going to be a little bit interactive this morning, so I want you to respond to this just by raising your hand. As a result of these things, how many came as a result of advertising? Not to this church, but to any church. Now, advertising is you saw maybe a sign out on the driveway, or maybe there was something in a newspaper. Did anybody ever come to a church, not even just this church, just as a result of advertising? All right, one, two, three, there's a couple. Statistically, the national average is 2% come as a result of one of these methods. Now, I'm not downing this. I'm just explaining this. Number two, let me ask this. Has anybody ever come as a result specifically that the pastor invited you? It doesn't have to be me, but just the pastor of a church invited you. How many ever came to a church just because of that invitation? Anyone? Oh, you should fire me. No. the national average is 6%. 6%. Now, let me ask you this question. How many this morning have ever come to a church because of an organized outreach? An organized outreach, let me define it, is like door knocking, right? Someone knocked on your door, or maybe they hung a leaflet on your door. How many has ever come to a church because of something like that? Anybody? All right. The national average is 6%. So far, we're up to 14% of the reason why people come to church. Now, this last one might blow your minds. It might not. How many have come to a church, whether it be this one or any other, because a family or a friend invited you? Raise your hand. That's much more up to snuff. It's 86%. 86%. I am not trying to diminish outreaches. All right, we're going to continue doing outreaches. We're going to continue doing those things. Why? Because we care about the one. If it means only one come, then praise God for it. But let me challenge you. Who is your one? We're going to talk about that for just a moment. Who's your one? Now, we'll continue doing the advertising, the outreaches, the organized focuses, and those pieces. We will. But the challenge is this, who is your one? My ask, my challenge to each one of us is that you would take this next week, couple of weeks, and pray that God would lay somebody on your heart. Maybe it's a family member, a friend, a neighbor. Maybe it's someone you haven't met yet. And God would specifically lay them on your heart, and that you would then commit to this next year of 2023 praying specifically for that one person's salvation. That you would pray that God would give you the opportunity to witness, that God would give you the opportunity to share Him with that person. You see, sometimes we look at the big picture. We look at the world. The world needs Jesus. I'm not diminishing that. But you say, I can't do much about the world. But you know what? We can all do something about the one. We can all take one person and just say, God, I want to. It doesn't mean we stop praying for the rest. It doesn't mean we don't care about the world. That's not it. But Lord, lay this person on my heart. Give me the opportunity to witness to them. Give me the opportunity to share you, that they might come to know you. And then the second stage is, once they've accepted Christ, and folks, listen, if we're passionate about this, if we commit to this, if we believe God is going to bring forth the harvest, and He will, what do we do then? Then you're also going to commit to say, Lord, I want to invite them to church. I want to see them grow as a Christian, with the end goal that after a year, or maybe 2 years, they then start doing the same. They then start going out and telling others about Christ, and we see a reproductive cycle. Let me just give you some numbers. Numbers help me, and I'll do this very quickly. If we have 70 people in our church that are capable of doing this, in 1 year's time, that means we would go to 140. The second year, we would see 280. The third year, 560. The fourth year, 1120. The fifth year, 2,200 plus people. Now, I'm going to stop you right now. I just terrified some of you. It's not about having a mega church here on earth, all right? It's not an ego thing. That's not it. What is it? It's about seeing souls saved from the pit of hell. Whether those people come to this church or another Bible-believing church, I honestly don't care. God works out those details. What I do care about is that our church, that our people, that myself, we are passionate about seeing souls saved. Someone's thinking right now, well, that's nice. Others can do that. I don't think I need to do that. See, that's the heart of a lukewarm Christian. Amen. That's the heart of somebody who is just frivolous about the things of God. Revelation chapter 3 talks very directly about this. Christ speaking, He says, I know thy works. He says, I know what you do. He says, I know your heart. Whether you're cold or whether you're hot, I know where you stand. And He says this, He said, I'd rather you be cold or hot, because if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. What our church doesn't need is another method for evangelism or another activity to do, though we'll continue doing them because God can use them, and He does use them, and He will use them. What our church needs is a white, hot passion to see people get saved and grow closer to Christ. Without this, we'll fail as a church. Will fail as a Christian. We must have a desire to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And there's nothing more that He glories in than to see people saved for Christ. Folks, it's all about the one. He left the 99 to come after me. He left the 99 to come after you. Will you commit to this morning? I'm not asking for money. I'm not asking you to go and be part of some big crusade. That's not it. Will you commit this morning and say, God, lay one person on my heart. Give me a conviction. Give me a fervor to see that person saved. Now listen, if we do that about one, God will use that in our life, and we'll see it magnify. We'll see it grow. Our main goal, not just for 2023, but for every year, is for kingdom growth. We want to fill up heaven. I pray every time I see a soul saved that maybe it'll be the last one before the trumpet blows. But until then, until that happens, our responsibility doesn't change. Our two purposes, our two focuses, what we're about, reaching people for Christ, seeing people saved, having a desire to see people saved, and then secondly, to see people grow. Folks, if we miss the mark on these two pieces, we failed. Again, not just as a church, but individually as a Christian. Will you take that step this morning? Will you commit this morning to focus on one? My last question is this. There's some right now that have just blown off this entire message. If you won't, who will? Kristen just shared that, you know, when it came back, the opportunity of doing Good News Club, it's like, oh, do we really need to? Do we really want to? And she does. That's been her heart, her passion. She talked to me about it 2 years ago almost. If we don't do those, whether it be Good News Club, whether it be The One, whether it be this Winterfest, if we don't, who will? You know who will? Satan. Satan. Folks, this needs to be a white, hot, burning passion in the souls of each and every one of our church. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the time you've given. I thank you, Father, for just this day, Lord, the opportunity to share you, Lord, and just what we're going to do, Father, for you this year. And it's not what we're going to do, Lord, it's what you're going to do. Lord, may we never get the eye in front of it. May that never happen. Lord, it's all about you. Father, I pray right now that if there be those here this morning that they're just on the fence about something, I don't know, whatever it is, Lord, push them over it. Lord, convict their heart and their life towards serving you. Lord, don't let ourselves get in the way. Don't let our own ego and our own hearts and our own mind get in the way of what you want for us.